Our scripture readings for this morning are Psalm 77, which has particularly three sections that talk about remembering. So try to make note of those. And then Paul's reiterating of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. So first of all, reading from Psalm 77. Notice, too, how it changes very much from the tone in the beginning, then what remembering brings about, and where it ends. Psalm 77, the word of the Lord. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O Lord, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And now turning to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. Now, this comes in a larger context about the Lord's Supper. And if you take your bulletin home with you, it's certainly worth reading the issues that brought up the need to make the centrality and the root of what is to be remembered in communion real. This is a rephrasing of what the Lord said, what Paul had received. But the verses before and after it tell us the context of the need to which these verses were addressed. So from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26, we read. And this is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth, and for all of us, the word of the Lord. "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May God add his blessing to all who hear and read and apply his word. We read, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We read, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer." We pray for understanding from God's word. I always pray that from God's word, I'd find something for my head to learn, something for my heart or feeling or emotions that would change something of who I am, something for my mind or hands or feet or voice that I may be moved in. And I pray that for those of you this morning who stand in need of comfort or assurance or knowing that God's love is real, that his Spirit would speak that through his word. For those of you who stand in need of hearing about a change or a call to repentance or a call to move in a different way or a call to hear and see God in a way that calls us on a path different than what we are, that changes us to walk in his will and way, that you would by his grace hear that. Amen. So with the message for this morning, I'm trying to combine two things, people of God. I'm trying to combine "this do in remembrance of me," "this do in remembrance of me," which is said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke for the bread that was shared and the cup that was shared. And I'm trying to combine "this do in remembrance of me" with "lest we forget," the tagline of the veterans and the remembrances of November the 11th. And I got stuck for a few minutes. Stuck is the wrong word, but I found myself dwelling on the word "remember" a little bit. What are we doing again? What are we remembering? Found myself for a few minutes. Do you remember when you could actually hug others, or coffee time after church, or family or friendship gatherings? How many things were canceled? How much we remember with longing and hopefully look forward to that coming back sometime. Looking back or missing something. Looking back with sadness, even in the middle of our reading in the Psalms, it was almost like there was a reference to the good old days, but you know, that's not what the focus is here this morning with Communion and Remembrance Day. What will you be remembered for? A week and a half ago, the passing of Marinus was shared by some in the congregation and the extended family of God. What will you be remembered for? I'm sure a lot of what he will be remembered for was shared too. Sometimes remembering is related to death and a legacy. What is left behind that stays in our mind of the good that exists now. And though a slight part of it, that's really not what Communion and Remembrance Day is all about. So let's unfold for just a few minutes Psalm 77 and 1 Corinthians 11 to see what it says and to listen to what the Spirit has to say through his word and his Spirit's working in our lives to us about these verses. So first of all, Psalm 77. It's a psalm of yearning and longing, grief expressed solidly, moving to hope. It's a psalm that must have been written, or it's an expression of what happened at night to the author. Verse 2, 4, and 6 all talk about nighttime. And in this nighttime, he's looking back, and the word "remember" comes up four times. One of them is incorporated with the same word, just a few words after it, so I'll only focus on three. Verse 3, 6, and 11. Verse 3, in the nighttime, he's looking back and he's missing God in the struggle that he's facing right now. So the psalm writer is looking back and he's missing God. But one thing I find amazing, he's not just saying what he's struggling with in this nighttime struggling time. He's saying what he's missing, who he's missing. He's directing his remembering to God. When we think about Remembrance Day, we have a blessing of pointing our thankfulness and our remembering to God. So he's looking back and missing that. Verse 6 mentioned again that it's nighttime, and it says in song he's reflecting and he's remembering. These are some of the words: remembering God's love, God's promise, God's mercy. And after he gets a good way through verse 6, approaching the middle of the psalm, he thinks, I'm going to appeal to this. As I think about God and not seeing him in the predicament I'm in the situation around me, as I think about his love and promise and mercy, I'm going to appeal to that. I'm going to appeal to the God I knew who was closer to me and who I still know, but I'm not seeing or feeling or hearing him now. He remembers in song as he reflects. Have you ever had it sometimes that some of the songs you sing, some of the great depth that's in some of our older hymns and choruses, I pray sometimes finds its way into your mind when you're discouraged or when you're happy or different things like that? What a blessing it is sometime to be able to have some of those hymns, those words of scripture, those words of song and praise, those words of psalter, those words of those choruses come into our brains. Well, that really is what verse 6 is about. In song, he reflects and remembers. That's a lot about verse 6. I'm going to appeal to that God that I remember, even though I don't feel it now. But then by verse 11, he remembers all the more what God has done. The word remembering God's deeds comes up twice. The words remembering the miracles of God comes up twice. His power, his mighty arm. And then the chapter ends, verses 16 through 20, remembering not simply that they were slaves in Egypt, but remembering the Red Sea. Some of it is referring almost back to, it almost seems to referring to what Isaiah experienced on the mountain. But it's definitely referring to your arrows, your thunder, your lightning, your path, your way. Those are all phrases I pulled out of verses 16 through 20. And I guess my question is, as I looked at this, I had to ask myself, Bill, do you get it? And I have to ask God's people, do you get it? Your arrows, your thunder. Getting it means when we remember, yes, there are times and places to count our blessings, to look at the peace and the freedom we have and those who gave their lives. But remembering is focused on God. And it's focused on the fact that it brings the past, the gift of his Son, into our lives now. So Paul works even more at this remembering theme and for even more of a critical issue. Because when Paul writes in these simple few verses in 1 Corinthians, verses 23 to 26, it begins by listing the problems that were happening in that church. And I'm just going to go back as far as verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul addresses the divisions in the church. I'm not talking little disagreements. In verse 18, there are divisions and they're approaching communion. And Paul is going to address the people in Corinth from the foundation of the communion that they had been sharing and would be sharing. And Paul basically addresses the divisions in the church in Corinth. He doesn't say what they are, but he says so very clearly that they're not meant to be. Maybe that's one of the reasons why in our Reformed tradition, we quite often on the Sunday before celebrating communion, remind people to examine themselves and see if there are things in our lives that we need to put aside, confess, talk to one another about, because these divisions were coming to the Lord's table. Yes, we're all imperfect and sin and do wrong and so often find ourselves doing what we shouldn't or not doing what we should, but divisions. Then comes up patience. Don't get drunk. Don't begin before all are here. Do your eating at home. Then comes up the call to self-examination. Know who you are. Then comes the call to recognize and hold high and honor what Christ did. Many in that church were weak, many were sick, and many had died. Now, it doesn't say directly this is because of their sin, but let me tell you that when sin lives in our lives, the first thing it does is eat us on the inside, and it makes us not in the right standing with God. Many were sick and died, and many were weak. So the Lord's disciples were called to look at this, and by the last verse in this chapter, Paul speaks the words of the Lord when he says, "The Lord disciplines so that we will not be condemned with the world." The gift of salvation is so clearly expressed, so vividly seen as a free, undeserved, gracious gift of God. But let's remember that we are called to receive that grace, but it's God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. Yes, indeed, the tagline of the Canadian Legion is, "Lest we forget, tens of thousands, even more than that, died through wars of different kinds." Tens of thousands died, and we're to be thankful for the freedom that we have. But one died for your salvation and mine, and that's what we're called to remember, lest we forget. And we're not only thankful for something. We're not only thankful for the fact that we have some bread and juice to remember with. We're not only thankful for people who died and for a poppy that we wear, but we are thankful to someone, to him who calls us into a relationship with him. Many times in scriptures, the word remember is associated with, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. But many times after that, we forget what comes right after that. Remember that you were saved by and through and with and in the waters of the Red Sea. Remember what you were saved for. Just 8 days ago was Reformation Day. And on 1517, we remember the truth perhaps most clearly said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, "For it is by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast, not by works. For you are created, you're the workmanship of Jesus Christ, created for good works in Christ, which he prepared in advance for you to do." So remember, we are called to respond. Remembering is not just a head thing, it's a head thing and a heart thing and a hand thing. We are called to live responsively. Yes, with COVID, we miss much. But we can remember and hope. And let me end with just a few sentences of a challenge before we have our time of silence and communion. In this time of COVID, one day you will remember and look back on this time. For young children, this is a big part of their lives since about March. One day you'll look back on this COVID time, and you will remember also. But what will you remember? And I'd like to challenge you this week, when you think of communion that we're celebrating, when you think of Remembrance Day Wednesday, but perhaps even more than that, can you reflect this week on not simply who you are, but whose you are? Pray that God, in a special way, in your remembering, will call you to be a beacon, a light. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. Let remembering make a difference. Remembering that Jesus died? Remembering that tens of thousands of Canadians and many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of others died. But let's let remembering make a difference. so that when we look back on COVID, on communion and remember, like the Word of God tells us so clearly, let's make sure it also is a lest we forget. Let's remember to let our light shine, and let your light shine, the light of Jesus Christ, let the salt that he gives and calls you to be make a difference. Not simply because of what you say and do, but because of who you are and whose you are. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. At the end of our prayer, we are going to have a minute of silence as well. So let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. May your word and your spirit find a growing place in our heart and life. Lord, we pray that in our remembering, we will reflect and look back at what you have done and what others have done. Lord, in remembering, let's look at who we are now, maybe even the state we are in now. But in remembering, Lord, let us also realize that one day soon you'll come back. And before that, we'll have other times of remembering. Lord, help us to be an answer to someone's prayer. Let your light shine forth that they may see our good works, but give glory to you, our Father in heaven. Help us, Lord, to let remembering make a difference. And Father God, as we enter a minute of silence, we want to thank you for those who gave their life that we could have freedom, and ultimately that you gave your Son that we could have life. Help us to remember those who have been part of paving the way that we might know freedom. Guide us as we remember, think, and believe in silence. Thank you, Lord. Amen.